Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. So our limud of Chofetz Chaim, as every day, is l'schus refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, hishtav refuah shleima b'korev, b'zor shal Chayla Yisrael. So today, in day 73 of the book, it's the Chofetz Chaim in Klal Ches, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, speaks about the about Lashon Hara in a family environment. He says, when the family gets together, when the children come round to Bubi and Zaidi on Sunday afternoon and the whole family is together, he said, the parents sit around chatting, the Bubi and Zaidi sit around chatting, everybody's chatting. What are they chatting about? Talking this, talking that. There's some things which are innocent, but there's some things which are Lashon Hara. He says, inevitably it happens. You're talking about other members of the family, you're talking about shul, whatever it is, things come up. He says, the Chofetz Chaim says, that there is a chiv on the... So besides not speaking Lashon Hara, there is a chiyuv on the parents to be mechiach the children and to be mechanech the children that they shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. And there's a chiyuv on the children to be mechanech the parents to pick them up when they speak Lashon Hara and to say, Daddy, Mommy, Bubi, Zaidi, are you sure this is muta al pi alocha? Okay? So, and it happens. I mean, yesterday we had these two, I was just telling you, we had these two JLE guests, yeah? They said they go to a shiur in JLE, I think on Monday nights, given by Rabbi Toby Weiniger. I don't know who he is. Well, yeah? Yeah, okay. And he gives them a shiur on Hilchos Brochos. Yeah? I mean, I must say I was very impressed with her knowledge of Brochos. She knew exactly you start with Hamoitzi and then you check whether there's Hamoitzi. She said we were given a flow chart. She knew the flow chart by heart. Yeah, I was very, very impressed. Yes? Then we started speaking and one of the things that we were discussing in Brochos was jam. Yeah, jam. What bracha do you make on jam? The strawberry, yeah, strawberry jam, and it's got strawberries in it. And you take out, or you could buy some of the jams. You can buy without the fruit. They've been, you know, the fruit's been extracted, so you only have the smooth part, etc. We just happened to be talking about it, yeah. And I said, what happens if you pick out the strawberry from the jam and you eat the strawberry on its own? Jam, generally speaking, I think it's shargoyle, Dainsteiner. You make a brocha shakol on jam. I mean, if it's a spread, then you probably don't make a brocha. It's bottled to the bread. But, yeah, but if you eat it separately, it would probably be shakol. What happens if you pick out a strawberry? Yeah? So immediately one of my family members said, yeah, that's what you do, Zaidi. Yeah, that I like to pick the strawberry out of the jam. Oh, I said, oh, Lashon Hara. Yeah, you speak Lashon Hara in front of everybody about me. Yeah. So the Chofetz Chaim says that parents have a chiyuv to be what's called, he says, that there should be a mantra, there should be a rule, there should be, everybody should know, and the kids will remember for the best of their lives, they'll remember, yeah, that by Bubi and Zaidi we don't speak Lashon Hara. That, but when we go there, it's a Lashon Hara free zone. And the children should know it, and the in-law children should know it, and the whole family should know, we can talk about everything under the world, but not Lashon Hara. And that's a chiyuv on the parents to be mechanech the children and the grandchildren. And a chiyuv, he says, then the other way around, he says, that it's not the charge of parents alone, but it's the children who should really respectfully pick up the parents if they speak Lashon Hara. If the parents are speaking Lashon Hara, the children become aware of it, then they're mechuyev to be mechuyech. They're both hoicheach teichiach asam isecho, is the other way around as well, if you like, that somebody younger could be mechuyech somebody who's older. He has to do it in the derech kovoid, but you can't just turn a blind eye. You can't just ignore it. And then in Chovas Hashmiro, the Chovas Chaim says another interesting thing. He says, I haven't got time to say it all today, but I'll just mention it, and that is that if you come from a house where, from time to time, Lashon Hara has been spoken, and there are such houses that exist that during the lifetime of the house, Lashon Hara has been spoken, then those parents might be suffering in Olam Habo as a result of the fact that Lashon Hara was spoken. He says, if the children are mesakin in their homes, that they don't speak Lashon Hara, and they'll be chiyach their children, and their fear on, said, then you could be mesakin their neshomas. Said, you can do an amazing toiva for the neshomas of the parents in Olam Habo, that they might be suffering from avoy Lashon Hara, but if their children are, if you like, better than them, if their children improve on the situation, and they don't speak Lashon Hara, and they make an issue of it, they're mechanech, they're in their homes, they don't speak Lashon Hara, then that is mesakin for that for the parents. And he speaks exactly which Heichel they go to Aaron HaKohen, who was Ayav Shalom, Vered Yav Shalom. There's a whole Zaira on it. But basically, it can only be good not to speak Lashon Hara. And we have a chiyuv to be mechiyach our children, and the children have a chiyuv to be mechiyach us. And if a child is mechiyach an adult, then the adult should be mekabel the toichocha and take it in the spirit in which it's meant.
Started at the Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Zayin Sivan, 23rd of June. Dayan Yehuda Osher Steiner Schlitter, zero Sprite, cut up fruit and washed lettuce. This week's Torah Wave is sponsored by Family Brody, Eliyahu Nishmas, their father and grandfather, Harav Yehuda ben Harav Levi Gabriel Levi Zichron Nivrocha, and Harav Levi Gabriel ben Rav Nota Chaim HaLevi Zichron Nivrocha, were both nifty yesterday. The outside was yesterday, test Zion 6. Also, let's go to Hashvoim, Vachoyim, Vachomosh, Shachsu Levotem, Shalom, Vim Heiro.
Amen. I'd like to start off today's share, which I think is something which is discussed quite often. I'd like to start off with a halacha not so well known in Hilchas Yayin Nesach, Simon Kuf Chof Gimel, 1, 2, 3, easy, can't forget it, 1, 2, 3, Sif Tes Zayin. And the Shulchan Aruch mentions quite a very interesting halacha. I'll try and give a little bit of a background because there's, I'm not sure exactly to when I've got.
Half an hour.
Half an hour, yeah. Right. So that's.
Till 10 to.
Till 10 to. Okay. So it says like this. Yesh Mishaim. Some say, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. Shetamtzis Yayim Hanikrash Al Doifnei Hachovis. So. The classic word and name for that is something which is called Weinstein. Right? That's the Yiddish name for it. What? Often you'll have a bottle of grape juice. You don't find it so much in a bottle of wine, but you will find it in a bottle of grape juice, especially if it's been standing for some time. And as you finish the bottle of grape juice, you see some sediment, looks a bit like crystals, sugary crystals. Yes. Right. So if you times that by many, many more times, and you think about a barrel of wine which is standing for a long time, so this sediment, with time, starts gathering on the inside walls of this barrel, and so much so that there are two types of and eventually it becomes almost rock-like. It's quite incredible, because we have a place that we look after in Spain where if you looked at the final product, it literally looks like a rock. Quite incredible transformation from. And it has two names, one which is more famous called lees, wine lees in the barrel, which comes from the French word lee, which is they have some fancy wine where they dafka want the wine to sit in the barrel where these lees are, and others they're called argols. And it's quite incredible, because if you take these barrels, and lav dafka barrels, could be even metal containers, etc., after a time, and the wine has been sitting, and wine can sit in these huge containers, which are known as cuves, C-U-V-E-S, you get quite a lot of this rock, which is nikrash, which becomes gathered on the side of the vessel. And the only way, if you want to get rid of it, and we'll soon see that the Ketchila, the Taz says, you have to try to get rid of it, is by taking a chisel and a hammer and knocking off these rocks. So you would say, well, all that rock should go to landfill. But actually, not at all. There is an incredible need, an incredible shortage of this product, which gets gathered, and it's there's a market for that, and it literally comes in huge, big ton tote bags, rocks, literally rocks, and it goes through a process, and this process, which involves cleaning with even things like sulfuric acid, a bit of other kinds of processes, food processes, and eventually, the way we see it, is a nice fine white powder. That fine white powder is called tartaric acid. And this tartaric acid gives what you might call adds a tangy flavor to any product. So when Sprite decided, because today people only pull things off the shelf if it says new or new taste or whatever it is, and they're obviously in competition with 7-Up, so they had to create something new. So the Zero Sprite, they added a little bit of tartaric acid, and often this tartaric acid can be added in many, many food products. But we want to speak about Sprite, and we will also speak about other things, time permitting. So in Shulchan Aruch, you've got an incredible... So you would say, well, look, this is sediment of Yayin Nesach. Now, no one in their right mind is going to consume Yayin Nesach. You'd be appalled if you went to any simcha and you'd see that they've got non-kosher wine on the table. Yesh Mishaim, it says the Shulchan Aruch, Shetamtzis Yayin HaNikrash Al Doifnei HaChavis. This tamtzis, which is now congealed and gathered on the walls of the barrel, vakankanim, nahagu heta, nahagu boy heta, you're allowed to consume it, nahagu minit, shemishtamchim bikli akum, and you can even use kli akum la'acha yudbeis chodesh. The halacha is that when something remains dry, again, we have to understand this in halachic context, which we do not have the time today to discuss, but strictly speaking, if you pulled out these argols, right, or lees, and you kept it, and it been dry for 12 months, here he's talking about that the barrel has been lying stagnant without anything in it for 12 months, then it's become nisiyabesh. It's become completely dried out. And therefore, this product, even though it originated from Yayin Nesach, this product will be kosher for use in whatever you'd like to use it for. Oh, so that's very interesting, because if you look at the Taz, and that's what I mentioned earlier, he says, the Machaber says something else as well. So Yud Beis Chodesh is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And we actually have a place in Spain, as I mentioned, where they gather this. They keep it in huge, big tote bags, and there's a whole Seder Hadvarim, because anyone that wants to deal with tartaric acid has to make sure he's got plentiful supply, and there's an incredible shortage of this. So therefore, you're always looking for quite a few months ahead. So this place, what we were doing was we were making sure that there's a proper Seder in place. And this is already historic. We've been doing this for many, many decades. Yeah, where we've always made sure that 12 months would lapse from when these things, which literally look like rocks, they're dry, they look like rocks, 12 months would lapse from when it is in these tote bags until it goes through a process. Now, you could say, hold on a second, what's that process? And it does go through a very thorough process with sulfuric acid, etc., etc., etc. But I just want to throw in one word, that there's always a shaila in halacha. If you are doing something, a process, where this process is poigem, spoils a food product, with the intention that eventually you'll wash out the poigem and it will become hishbiach. So if you look in Yeridea Simen Kuf Gimel, it's not so simple to allow such a thing. Machaba seems to hold that it's absolutely awesome, right? Pogmoi ula besoif hishbiach, if that's part of your process, that you put it through thorough and even more, okay, perhaps you could say that perhaps the whole gelatine process is more lenient than that, because at the end of the day, the gelatine, which is also made through a sulfuric acid process, which pulls out collagen from hides of whatever the hides are, either kosher animals or kosher fish, or perhaps even non-kosher animals, hides, etc. That is also something which is pogum, and then afterwards it's l'sof hishbiach. Except by the time you finished with that, it is quite tasteless, but it does give a mouthfeel, so that your whatever gums you're doing with gelatine. But today we're not discussing gelatine. Today we want to discuss this tartaric acid. So now there's an incredible thing. Furthermore, and that I want to address this point that you mentioned. The Mechaba says, "Oi, you've got another choice. Oi la'acha milui ve'irui." There's a halacha that a barrel or any vessel which was used for yayin nesech, non-kosher wine, has an addition apart from the shilas of having the problem of having non-kosher wine. It's got another problem. Chazal made an issa of keili shemachnisin boi lekiyum. And it's a fascinating subject. We could speak about this for hours and hours. Keili shemachnisin boi lekiyum. Any vessel which is used for storage of wine product without the shayla of blia. So if it's got blia and it's got an infusion in it, then there's another shayla, then we will have to kashal that. But let's say, without the shayla of blia, let's give an example, stainless steel or something. So a keili shemachnisim boilakim, Chazal said that is forbidden. It could be, you're right, if it's stainless steel, then but whatever it is, keili shemachnisim boilakim is also, and the way to permit it, Chazal said you have to fill it up with water right to the top. You could kasher it, but it's not often easy to kasher such a, especially if it's a huge barrel. You have to have plenty of hot water. You'd fill it up three times, milui ve'iri, three times, each time 24 hours, then disgorge the water, and then the vessel's kosher. So this barrel, I've got to do two things to it in order to make it kosher. Number one, I want to fill it with water for 24 hours, disgorge three times, and that'll solve keli shemachlis and boilekiyum. But I've got another problem. I've got these argols, or the lees, which are stuck, the sediment, which is stuck to the side of the barrel. And on that, the Shulchan Aruch says, la'acha milui ve'irui, it will also thing, ve'ein mekalfin, and there's no need to peel off Hatamtzis hanikrash olav shekiven shenisyabeish kolkach kva kolo kolachluchis yayin sheboy. It's all gone. Uka ofa ba'almo. and it becomes offer. Now, the reason why I mentioned the Tazim, it's important to take note of that, because he says, Umikomukam, the Taz Sif Kalton Tes, says, Ein lahokal lekatchila, el roichtzim mebefnim heitev, you've got to wash the barrel properly, umakalfin hanikrash yofa yofa. And this is taka good heksherim that care about this Taz before they use these kuvs in order to create one. The Mashkiach goes into these huge things with a hammer and chisel and cleans it all out. So it's quite it can be quite a hard work, but that's part of the Mashkiach's work. I mean, there's obviously other ways of cleaning it out, but even if others have cleaned it out, you check it, etc. But that, we don't want to get sidetracked. So you've got this Mechaba that's basically telling you that tartaric acid, from this point of view, will be permitted, even if afterwards it's giving a taste. Now, we don't have a Darkei Tshuva here, but if you look at the Darkei Tshuva on this Shulchan Aruch, you'll see something incredible. He brings the Beis Meir, Machlokes Achronim, whether indeed it's permitted, and it would seem that there's a huge machloikas whether every type of lees and argles are permitted, or only those that have lost the reddish color. And he differentiates something very interesting. He differentiates between something which is chomutz, which is like a sour, or perhaps we can translate it as tangy taste, and something which is salty, malchi, something which is more of a salt. And he differentiates there between a red product and a white product. And then there are others that argue on the Beis Meir, and they say nonsense. It says here it's mutter. If it's mutter, it's mutter, but it has to go through the drying process. Okay. So you've got those that will want to be stringent, and tova aleihem brocha, but you've got those that will be lenient. Very interesting. I received a phone call some time ago from a distributor in Eretz Yisrael that asked me, what our position is on tartaric acid. I said, look, historically, I can just tell you what Diane Weiss said, and then later on followed by Diane Westheim, Zichronim Levrocha, Zichat Tzadikim Levrocha. And I said, the idea is we look for this 12-month that it's dried out process, and after we've got that 12 dried out, then we allow it. And they said, look, there's a certain kashrus organization that wants artificial, and we've just found out that this artificial tartaric acid is extremely unhealthy for the body. Is there any way you can talk them in to using the natural? So at least we've got a bit of understanding what this idea is. Now, 7-Up doesn't use the tartaric acid. But you'd be surprised if you start looking at tartaric acid and see how many products and what products they go to. Which brings me...
What was the ingredient of the artificial? You weren't involved, but what was the...
I was not involved with that.
Yeah.
I don't know, it could be some chemical reaction. Because, you're always using reactors which can give you the same... the same taste. So there's two points which I want to mention, both which are fascinating. One is the Metzius point, and one is a halachic issue. And it's fascinating. The Metzius is very interesting. There's a company all the way down towards the south of England, southeast, which I go to visit from time to time. And they manufacture powders and sprays for fruit and vegetables. I'm sure you've noticed that when you take an apple and you cut the apple into bits, sometimes, especially if it's not an expensive apple, perhaps Marx as best as takes a little bit longer. But if it's not an expensive apple, within 5 minutes it's starting to turn brown. And yet, when you walk into all these little service stations, Waitrose, and all these service stations that sell cut fruit, or even supermarkets, somehow or other they keep their apples nice and white. And the same thing applies to many cut fruit products. And the reason is because you spray an antioxidant on it to keep it fresh. Now, the interesting thing is, and a lot of these antioxidants have tartaric acid. Now, funnily enough, I kept on saying, well, look, from a halachic perspective, I've managed to trace your tartaric acid. It's 12 months, no problem. In the end, the company themselves, they said it's so much easier for us because people don't like tartaric acid. We're just not going to certify the products with the tartaric acid. They do plenty without. And it's incredible because they're sending from the UK across to the whole world these products, these sachets, which you can add water to, etc., and then they spray it with these things. And this is a huge, huge subject because they're doing this with whole fruit as well. And there's all different types of sprays to stop it. You've got, there's a good reason why many fruit have got a lovely sheen, an attractive sheen, which when you come to the supermarket, oh, this is a shiny apple, you automatically pick it up because it's got a little bit of a spray. Not all of them use tartaric acid. Some are using various oils where most of them are going to be kosher. Raisins is also quite a fascinating subject, etc., etc., etc. So which brings me to the next point, because I have been very much driven mad by many people in the UK who have always asked, why do we need, and why does the Besdin need, and why do all our shkachas need to spend so much money on mashgichim checking vegetables when you can buy washed vegetables in the supermarket? Not only that, this is, mind the pun, yeah, but the pun bugs them, yeah. But there's not only that, there's another thing. They're not stupid, and they've seen that in certain countries, especially America, in USA, a lot of the supermarkets are selling washed vegetables, or dole, or I don't know what other names, with an OU on, or an OK, or a star K. Why can't we do the same thing here? Why is it all, everything's so expensive? So, Baruch Hashem, I was at this place not too long ago, and I was zoicha to speak to one of the senior people there, and I told him, I have a major problem. Number one, I've asked my mashgichim to buy a lot of washed vegetables, washed lettuce, washed things. And when they check it, it depends, it's seasonal. It's literally seasonal. You can have times, especially when it's cooler, where you don't find anything. But when you start getting this warmer weather and it's taken off the field, then it can be quite infested, even though they've been officially washed. And we've tried many supermarket, the good ones, the best ones, the Marks and Spencer, and we do find the small mites. So he told me something incredible. He said that there's a fundamental difference between here and America. Here and in the States. The difference is, number one, in England, the UK, nobody wants a vegetable which has got more than 7 days date from plucking to whereas in the States, everybody will take a vegetable which has a 14 day. And he says the reason is because in the United States, it's such a big country, by the time they've processed it and got it out to the supermarkets, it's already taken many days. And therefore, they're using a complete different recipe. Here, a lot of the companies here are using a chlorine wash, which number one is not too healthy, and number two, he says it will kill the larger bugs, but the smaller mites, which I like to describe with the mashgichim show me, and I myself have seen, which look like a tiny little crab with 6 feet coming out, the ones that you don't see unless you look really well, they can be very infested here. And he says, Poshet, because the wash that they're using here literally does not get rid of them.
Is it any fruit?
Not fruit. I'm talking about vegetables, lettuce, etc., etc., etc. It just won't get there. Broccoli has got a bigger problem that it, because it's very packed together, and it grows packed together, and the butterflies love to lay their eggs because it's a very safe vegetable for the eggs to grow and then become a little caterpillar or whatever. So therefore they lay their eggs within the tightly packed broccoli florets. Right? So that's why that's a problem as well.
It's all the same,
surely,
live or dead or eggs,
they're all trash, surely. Yes, yes. Even eggs is going to be, it's a dova hayotze minatome, provided it's visible, yes, yes, provided it's visible. The problem with eggs is that they start, it might, even if you're going to say it's not visible to begin with, but it doesn't take long till they hatch. But just let me guess. So this is by the by, but it's very interesting because we see that what we're getting, cut fruit, etc., it will have a spray. And
sorry, what do they use in America?
They're not using a chlorine wash. They're using a different type of thing, which gives it a much longer shelf life and will indeed
remove even the little bugs.
The ones with the hash. It says not only that, they're also checking the soil. And there's different... In the UK, they're very, very stringent on the type of pesticides as well that you can use. You can't use any type of pesticide. Every country has got its own thing. Interestingly enough, he told me that when it comes to the cress, watercress, that you cut on the, that's washed with a very strong jet of water. And he says that process seems to get rid of it, and it's very, very safe. And, you know, that's incredible because he says that's safe. And something like that, which could be introduced, that is something which one could use in order to have a worm-free situation. So he says you should be really trying to go in that direction if you want to create a reasonably priced washed lettuce. But by the by, because I've got to soon stop, what I want to explain to you is like this. The tartaric acid, which gives...
You have to come to the beginning.
Yeah, the tartaric acid, which gives this tangy taste, it's not the only ingredient. Especially if you're buying a tango, you can have in some of these drinks, they've got 60 ingredients. 60, right? An incredible amount of ingredients. And it's the makeup of the recipe which gives the taste. So you could say, what's the big fuss? So number one, I've just now found you quite a few gedolei olam who say that it's mutter, right? And number two, even if I want to be machmir, is that the thing that's giving the taste? So I'm just going to, and that's how we're going to finish off, because that itself is a huge cheer. A very not well-known Rashba, but it's a big tumul. On that, you've got a huge tumul in the poiskim, in the halachic poiskim, how to deal with this Rashba. The Rashba brings like this. Roifim, it's a tshuva, which is the last Rashba brought down in the Beis Yosef, Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet. And it's incredible to see the whole thing inside. We won't have time. B'tshuva acheres kosav, roifim shomarti, I've seen something which I don't like. Shenoisnim lechoilim oisam amashkim, or some sort of a remedy, perhaps call it a Bach remedy or something. And I do not understand how that can be permitted. And they say, well, look, it's bottle. It's parts per 60, per 70. Says the Rashba, that's wrong. Share ikroy kach. The kol she ikroy kach, einoy bottle. And he quotes a Gemara in Psochim, which we don't have time. And he says, even, and he quotes the Gemara Psochim, ava bishatam on kfela, even if you get someone to taste it and say, hi, can you taste the wine? In this, you might be able to taste the tartaric acid, but can you taste the wine? Nevertheless, and I'm jumping here because it's a long thing. And he quotes the Ravid, even though I've got an arichas about that. L'chayah, the Ravid saying slightly different to what he's saying, but he's quoting Rashba is saying the Ravid. V'hu ha'yosha shebetamim, sh'nem ha'dvorim, v'ava pisha afila vadai, yenom sh'nis arav b'sha'inoy minoy, afila botel beruba, l'fi shedze derech ha'mikre. Something fell in, and it fell in, so I taste it. And I see if it's bottle. The cholshin is arav derech mikra loy hichmiru achiyei nuntes. We don't need 60 against it. Aval kolsha darkon lasos kain. This is part of your recipe makeup. Osru the einoy bottle b'miyutoy. And he quotes a lot of rishon about it. And this, like I said, this is a big subject, but it's interesting that those that take this Rashba seriously, and the Chari, it looks like, just be'ofen, look at it, those that take this Rashba seriously will not be happy with the fact that it's bottled in 200, because this is something which is giving that speciality taste. Haraya, they're saying, taste your Sprite. This is not 7-Up. This is something special. This has got your tartaric acid in there. I want to finish off just with the nekuda of those that argue on the Beis Meir on tartaric acid. And they say something incredible. They say even if you're tasting what you're tasting from this tartaric acid, that's different to taste, to adding wine to shimre, shmorim, sediments of grape skins and pips. Because that taste is coming from the wood of the tree. It has a splash over, so to speak, inside the grape, which later on, when it becomes sediment and becomes rocks, and that comes out of that taste. And they say, and that's why, once it's nisyabesh, so the grape taste is gone, and you're just tasting that woody taste, which is from the actual vine itself. So we're sort of finishing off.
But are you allowed to drink the Sprite or not?
Sorry?
Are you allowed to drink the Sprite or not?
I just want to explain the two sides, why some people are makel, and why those who want to be machmir is tova aleihem brocha. The reason why I brought the second half about the milaviri is because there are those that say, why can't I speed up the production? Why do I have to actually wait for it to be 12 months this yashin? I'll take it and put it in a dryer and dry it, and I'll have the same whitish powder, not red, and that is, so there are those that are makel on that. But for some reason, our Kabbalah, Manchester the Bezna, has always been that they actually makbit on the Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, cultivate.